Hello and welcome to Amy Talks. I'm your host Amy, and in this episode we're going to be discussing a topic that affects so many of us at some point in our lives: imposter syndrome. Have you ever felt like a fraud, even though you've achieved great things and have the skills and qualifications to back it up? If so, you're not alone. Today we're going to explore what imposter syndrome is, some personal examples of mine, and how to combat it. So today's good news story is in fact a little bit of a sports story. So, it's not really, but anyway. It's a video on Facebook. It's from NBC Sports. I don't know if you guys follow NBC Sports. I certainly don't. I just saw it on my feed. It says, Dad builds epic backyard ski resort. Now, this isn't like the full works or anything. It's very basic. But every time I see it, it makes me smile. So there's a little pulley thing that the dad like pulls the girl up the ramp thing, and then she skis down it, which is very interesting. It looks like it's in the UK, and it looks as if it's in the summer. It's really good and it's really ingenious. So if you want to go and watch it, please do. The link will be in the show notes for you. As it turns out, imposter syndrome is even creeping in today, because I just deleted the last 10 minutes of everything I've just said, and because I sort of think, well, it's shit and nobody's gonna understand what I'm saying. So not the best start, but here we are. Right, start again. The definition of imposter syndrome is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own effort or skills. So it basically means that you can think that you're a failure and not very competent. I have had thoughts about that rather frequently recently, and in, you know, past years, which is a bit of a shame really, because it kind of mars the experience of whatever I'm, you know, anxious or kind of worrying about. And one of those was my first ever job as an intern at Siemens. Now, you probably know Siemens because you have a Siemens dishwasher. They don't do dishwashers anymore. But I was in an internship with their PR team, who were all absolutely lovely. And about 2.5-3 months in, I thought, I'm going to have to leave because I'm not competent. I can't do this. But part of your first job is you're there to learn. Especially if it's an internship, for God's sake. My lovely manager, Anne, if you're listening to this, hello, really supported me through it and helped me, reassured me when I was anxious and, you know, made sure that I had all the relevant support at work. And one of those things was to call the employee assistance program. Most businesses have these. It's basically where you can call and you get confidential advice and counselling and on a variety of issues. And I called them and I spoke about how I felt and, you know, how it was affecting me. And they said, have you ever heard of something called imposter syndrome before? And I said, no, I haven't. And I searched it up, and as soon as I did, I saw it and it automatically clicked in my brain, this is it. This is what I'm experiencing. And once I knew that, I then kind of had the ability to say, okay, this is just me experiencing some negative self-doubt. How can I change that? Even in my current job, I absolutely love my job now. And I do admin, if you're interested. But I was a bit behind on a project once, and I had a meeting with the big boss who was running the project with me, and I thought, she's gonna think I'm a failure because I've done nothing. But that's because there was another project that was overshadowing everything I was doing on the first one. So she came on the call and she said, this is overtaking the project we're working on. That's fine, it's on hold for now. And I instantly felt relief because I knew that she understood. And, you know, I didn't tell her that I felt like a failure, but it was useful to have that conversation and that update and kind of say, look, you know, this is on hold for now. And I felt a lot better after speaking to her about that. I've also felt imposter syndrome with this podcast sometimes. That's maybe why I haven't created as many episodes as I should have. An example of that is that the interviews, plural, that I have done with the lovely James Mates of ITV News. I've interviewed him twice. Once for a podcast called Amy Talks Politics, which is about politics, funnily enough. And once for this show. If you want to go back and listen to that, I think it's fascinating. It's on the feed episode number 6, I think. I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, just go and have a look. So when I first reached out to him in 2017 for the first interview, and he replied, and he went, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to. I literally couldn't believe it. I was like, what the hell? Why did he want to be interviewed by me? I didn't believe it until I was sat in front of him, about to ask him my first question. It was really weird because it's almost quite surreal, really, because you think, hang on, that man was on the telly 10 minutes ago telling me about Brexit or whatever, and now he's agreed to do an interview with me. It's mad. But it was my first, like, big in-person interview, and I thought, I almost pulled out. I thought, I can't do it. I can't do this. Like, it's going to be awful. I was absolutely, and quite rightly, I was absolutely terrified. I was so scared. And he was absolutely lovely. He's so, like, patient with me. And, like, I think he understood that I was a bit unsure and a bit nervous. And all that sort of thing. I did the interviews at ITN HQ on two separate occasions, and I was kind of sat there, and I thought, I don't deserve to be here. There's journalists here that have won, like, awards and stuff, and I'm not them, and I'm an amateur, barely. But, to be fair, he was really nice about it. Although, I did have a little bit of a moment when editing the episode. I did have a little cry, and got a bit kind of negative self-talk type vibe, because I just thought he's gonna hate it. Everybody's gonna hate it. Why am I even publishing this? Like, it's gonna be shit. Like, why? I got over that eventually, and published it anyway. And I'm quite glad I did, because one of the episodes sometimes, that if I'm thinking about listening to one of my episodes, I always go back to that one, because it was good fun. Another example of imposter syndrome for me is guest outreach, in, like, reaching out to people to go on the show and stuff. And that really, particularly if it's a high profile person as well, I always think, oh, well, they're not going to bother because they don't know who I am, and I'm, you know, I'm not good enough to be able to interview them. But I can also have a lot of negative thoughts when reaching out to people, because I just, like, I think that I'm, you know, who am I to reach out to somebody big, or, you know, one example, I'll give you an example, okay? But I reached out to LBC presenter Tom Swarbrick. He was very, very lovely in his response, and he said no, which is fine. But I can't say that I wasn't absolutely gutted that he said no. It kind of knocked my confidence a little bit. This isn't Tom's fault at all. I think I got myself so hyped up about the fact that I might be interviewing him, that when he said no, I kind of got a bit upset. I feel a bit bad. I feel like a bit of an arsehole saying that. But my first kind of thoughts were, you're not good enough, and who did you think you were reaching out to him? He wouldn't want to be interviewed by you anyway. But then I kind of caught myself in that negativity. I felt like that for a day or so, and then I had a word with myself, and I thought, get a grip. It's one interview. Like, it's not the end of the world. I have reached out to him about possibly doing the rest of the year. Heard nothing back. It would mean a lot to me to be able to do it, of course. And as I said, I think I get myself so excited and so, like, I have a really overactive imagination, which really doesn't help. And then I get let down, which is a shame, but it also taught me a hard lesson that not everything in life, you know, happens the way you want it to. or works out the way you want it to. So it definitely was a kind of turning point for me, I suppose, in that, you know, when I reach out to guests now, I'm not going to be pessimistic, but I'm also not going to be optimistic either. Not going to be massively optimistic like I was then, because this is the first kind of guest that I've reached out to in probably a couple of months, maybe. First big guest anyway. And yeah, so I kind of felt a bit sad about that. It's definitely interesting to talk about, I think, because, you know, a lot of people experience rejection and all that sort of thing. It's part of life, but the way that people think about themselves then kind of feeds into that, if that makes sense. So you get rejected for something or by someone for something, and then you start to think, well, is it me? Have I done something wrong? I definitely haven't, but it's just the way things are. And I can never really, I guess I couldn't understand that and kind of see the bigger picture, in that it would just be one episode, for God's sake. It's not a whole series, you know? I guess I never was able to see the bigger picture, in that it's just one episode out of nearly 50 I've done now. Like, the people that I've interviewed, I'm very, very, very grateful. But it's just one, like, 1 hour or something of time. Like, it's not, but it's not that deep, it really isn't, you know? I'm probably not explaining that very well, by the way, I apologise, but I have a, yeah, I'm not having the best time with my words today, but yeah, I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. So yeah, I think anxiety and mental health, your mental health in general, is a big part of it. I think I'm struggling with that a little bit at the moment, which is a bit annoying. I'm kind of thinking negatively about myself, about, you know, people, you know, situations and things, and I think that all feeds into what I've just talked about with the rejection from Tom, I think. So yeah, it's definitely something that I need to work on, I think. Although, it's not all bad. I'm not going to sit here and whine for the whole thing. I do have some accomplishments. I started the podcast in the first place, which is an accomplishment. You know, I run it all by myself. Don't have anybody else helping me at all. I don't know whether that's an accomplishment or not. Maybe it's just because I'm a control freak and I want to control every element of it. But I never, ever thought in a million years that I would ever interview a former Home Secretary. Like, that's what people on big radio stations and TV stations do. Not me, a little podcaster, you know, who, you know, isn't massively confident. But yeah, I think it's interesting kind of thinking about the people that I've interviewed and the stories that I've told as well, you know. From my own perspective, and, you know, I would never have done that had I not started this show. I feel very grateful for everybody that has appeared on the show. It's one of my things that I look back on and I think, yeah, actually, you haven't done too badly. Moving on a bit, how can you combat imposter syndrome? It's not easy. I'm definitely feeling it right now, but I could use some of these strategies that I've got written down here. One of them is, imagine how you would speak to a friend about it. So one of my friends from Canada, her name is Jess, if you're listening to this, hi. she has been a big person that I go to for advice, particularly around sort of the podcast and guests and things and all that stuff. And she's been helping me a lot recently, obviously with everything I've just discussed. And she sort of said, look, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's what, you know, it's, don't be so hard on yourself, but apply that to yourself, which I think is really hard to do. I just think it's tough to then kind of internalize that and apply that to yourself. Like, I'm not very confident, I'm an anxious person anyway, so having imposter syndrome doesn't help. But certainly I need to improve my positive self-talk, I think. Another thing is speak to your network. So this is a good medium with which to talk about this, because a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it? And also, this might help other people. So if you're going through a similar thing, if you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm a fraud, I'm a failure, nobody's going to like me, you know, nobody's going to want to do this. This might help someone over, you know, understand where their thoughts are coming from and how, and this advice might help them. You never know. And also think, I've just spoken there about my accomplishments. Think about those. It's definitely useful to reflect on your accomplishments and understand, you know, where you're coming from in terms of what you've achieved and all that stuff, whether it be work or personal or whatever. And that is my discussion on imposter syndrome. That's a wrap for today's episode of Amy Talks, where we explore the topic of imposter syndrome and the ways it can hold us back. I hope you found this discussion valuable and that it has given you a better understanding of this common experience. If telling my story helps one person, I would be so very happy. On the other hand, if it hasn't, then sorry. If you wish to keep up with me in the show, follow Amy Talks on social media. At Amy Talks Podcast on Twitter and at amytalkspod.podcast on Instagram. You can also subscribe to the show on any podcast platform out there, I think, pretty much. And yeah, just search Amy Talks, simple as that. And you'll be able to follow or subscribe and get every new episode as soon as they're available. If you have any feedback at all, I doubt you will, but if you do, you can email amytalkspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, bye!